Act Two opens in Enrico's apartment in the Ashtons' home, Lammermoor Castle. As he awaits Lucia, Enrico admits to Normanno that he's a little worried. He's planned Lucia's wedding to the rich Lord Arturo Bucklaw, whose family could be very helpful indeed in advancing the Ashton family fortunes. Of course, Enrico knows that his sister doesn't want to marry Arturo, but the prospective bridegroom's relatives are already gathering in the castle, assuming there's going to be a wedding. Normanno's confident that everything will be all right. He rehashes how they've reached this moment. Edgardo's been away for a long time. Normanno and Enrico have intercepted his letters to Lucia, and now Enrico will prove to Lucia that Edgardo's been unfaithful. Normanno gives Enrico a forged letter and leaves to escort Arturo to the castle. Now Lucia enters the room. "I thought you'd be happier today, since it's your wedding day," her brother says, doing his best to be friendly. Lucia bursts out, "The dreadful paleness of my face is my rebuke to you for making me suffer." As she begins their duet, Lucia is attempting to stand her ground. The music reflects that, at least initially. It's her last desperate chance to assert herself. That first phrase is more aggressive than what we would expect based on what we heard from her in Act One. Lucia insists that she's sworn to be faithful to another man. Now Enrico plays his trump card. He shows her the letter Normanno had handed to him. Lucia reads it and staggers in shock. Quietly, almost to herself, she yields to her misery. "I suffered weeping. I put my life and my hope in one heart. Death has come for me. That faithless heart has been given to another woman." Enrico counters by telling her that what she was feeling was madness. "You betrayed your family," he says, "for a vile seducer." Let's hear Lucia in her unhappiness and a few phrases of Enrico's cold response. What a contrast, the gentleness of Lucia's legato phrases contrasted with Enrico in his usual rhythmically pronounced, relentlessly macho mode of expression. A fanfare is heard. "Arturo has arrived. My tomb awaits me," cries Lucia. Politically, things at the moment are disastrous for Enrico, and Arturo can bring him back to favor. So now Lucia must save him by going through with this marriage. It's become all about Enrico and what he can get out of the alliance with the Bucklaw family, For him, Lucia's happiness is irrelevant. Now comes the cavalletta. Enrico begins, "If you betray me, my fate will be sealed. You rob me of my honor." He overdramatizes here, anticipating that he'll be executed, and to her dying day, Lucia will see the bloody block before her eyes. To the same melody, Lucia prays for death. How different this music sounds coming from her. Yes, it's mainly the same notes, but soft, fragile, and intimate. Enrico hurries off to greet Arturo, leaving Lucia to await news from her tutor, Raimondo. He now appears. Lucia had thought that her brother was blocking the roads, which would have kept her letters from reaching Edgardo. But Raimondo explains that he himself took one of her letters and had a trusted messenger send it, but still there was no reply. Now Raimondo hopes Lucia will forget her devotion to Edgardo. Any vow not blessed by a minister of God cannot be recognized in the world or in heaven. In Raimondo's aria, he begs Lucia to yield, to consider the danger her brother will face if she refuses. Raimondo brings Lucia's dead mother into his plea. If you don't give in, your mother in her grave will tremble with horror for you. Donizetti didn't necessarily build much drama into this vocal line, so it's up to the bass singing Raimondo to give it vigor and variety of color. Per le tenere mie cure, per l'estinta genitrice, il periglio d'un fratello, il periglio d'un fratello, devi morire. Lucia finally yields. That's the signal for Raimondo's cabaletta. For the good of your family, says Raimondo to Lucia, you're making a sacrifice that will be written in heaven. Now that he can offer her comfort, his vocalism turns buoyant and even joyous. Here, even more than in the aria, the bass must be careful not to overload his phrases with too much sound. Elegance is much more important here than sheer volume. Oh, We move to the great hall of Lammermoor Castle. The guests are thrilled at the prospect of the Ashton Bucklaw wedding. To them, it's a sign that a happy, hopeful new day has dawned. In between the verses of their chorus are solo lines that Arturo addresses to his host, Enrico. Your star has been eclipsed, but I will make it rise again, more radiant than before. I come as friend, brother, and defender. Listen to the chorus, all vigor and positiveness, followed by the graceful, confident, floating lyric tenor lines of the aristocratic Arturo. Enrico makes an excuse for Lucia. If she seems unhappy, it's just that she's mourning her dead mother. Arturo mentions that he heard Edgardo had been paying Lucia some attention. Yes, it's true, mutters Enrico. That madman. Now Lucia appears, looking dazed. She signs the marriage contract, murmuring, It's as if I'm signing my own death warrant. There's a commotion at the entrance to the hall. Edgardo rushes in. Everyone's astonished. Time for opera's most famous sextet. It opens with a melody so beloved that for a 1936 movie, Captain January, it was even set as a trio, led by none other than Shirley Temple. Edgardo and Enrico start things off. Edgardo sees Lucia's grief and terror and knows he still loves her. Enrico realizes that he's betrayed Lucia and feels some remorse. I'll give you this entire sequence, beginning with Lucia's cry of, Io manco, I'm fainting. Then Edgardo's entrance and the beginning of the sextet. With Elisa and Arturo expressing their concern and the chorus singing quietly below them, the other four principals sing with increasing expansiveness, the music dominated in turn by Enrico, Edgardo, and Lucia. I'm sure many baritones sing the role of Enrico solely for the joy of pouring forth in the sextet on the lines beginning, E mio sangue l'ho tradita, she's my blood and I've betrayed her.
Thank you.
Enrico and Arturo order Edgardo to leave before blood is shed. He answers, "It's my right to be here. Lucia pledged to be faithful to me." But Enrico makes clear that his sister belongs to someone else. Edgardo looks at the marriage contract and then turns to Lucia. She's trembling. "Is this your signature?" he asks. "Yes," she whispers. He's enraged. He demands his ring back and hands her the one that she'd given him. "You've betrayed heaven and love," he shouts, cursing the moment when he first loved her. "I ought to flee from you." And then to everyone present, he cries, "Vidi sperda," out of my sight. Edgardo, so loving toward Lucia in their first act duet, is now breathing fire. His vocalism changes, too. From here to the end of the act, the singer needs the voice of, say, Manrico in Verdi's Il Trovatore. Such an outburst was new to bel canto tenors. They hadn't been previously asked for this degree of fury on stage. They leaped at it. One tenor of the period, Gaetano Fraschini, who later premiered Verdi's Un ballo in maschera, inspired such excitement in audiences when he sang this music that he acquired the nickname Tenore della Maledizione, Tenor of the Curse. We've had angry tenors before in bel canto, but they've expressed their anger in virtuosic florid passages. Donizetti had something else in mind. Edgardo is either soulfully lyric or, in this case, vehement and assertive. This is too much for Enrico and his guests. They lash out at Edgardo as Lucia sings in despair, "God save him," in such a cruel moment. And Edgardo declares, "My blood covering the threshold will be a sweet sight for this wicked girl." Enrico and Arturo order Edgardo to leave at once, with everyone else expressing their dismay. This is one of the most exhilarating of all bel canto opera finales, especially when it's performed complete. I'll give you the final section, preceded by a middle section, which is actually often cut in performance. I'm sure mezzo-sopranos are happy when it's included, since it gives Alisa a chance to dominate vocally for a few phrases. Listen for her admonition to Edgardo, "Infelice t'invola ta fretta," unhappy man, leave, hurry.